Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected," right? We're used to seeing disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, right? That's who Jesus is. So it's calling the Lord Jesus a living stone. Right, that we're coming to him as to a living stone. And it says that he was rejected by men, but he was chosen of God, and that he is precious, right? Now, in verse number 5, then it says, "Ye also as lively stones," which is the same thing as saying living stones there. But it says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up," listen to what it is. So it calls the Lord Jesus a living stone, right? And then it calls us also living stones. And it says that we are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So the thing that also that comes to mind, right, is Romans chapter 12, right? And he says that, in Romans chapter 12, he said that we are to, let's bring it up real quick. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I'll stay right here. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. And it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." And so it's an interesting, let's not go too much further than that, that we present our bodies. So here it says that we're living stones, right? Now a living stone is an interesting thing, right? A living stone is it's living, obviously, because it says that it's a living stone, and then dead because of the word stone, right? So it's a living stone. So it's someone who has risen from the dead, right? A living stone, someone who's risen from the dead. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the firstborn, right? Firstborn of the Father. And it's an awesome thing that, you know, and we're going to get into this, you know, I'm just kind of saying right now, but we were birthed, right? We were birthed by the Father. We were birthed by the Father to perfection, right? We were birthed by the Father perfectly, right? And in James, he says that every good and every perfect gift, right, is from the Father, right? So all that is perfect comes from the Father. All that is perfect comes from the Father. So, and Jesus lived perfectly, right? And when he died once, our death, right? Our death. And then because of him dying our death, he was able to give us life. So in other words, we were birthed by the Father. And I'll show you that in a second, but we were birthed by the Father. But the interesting thing about all of this that we're just saying right now about being birthed and perfection, right? We were birthed perfectly, right? Birthed perfectly, but we are perfect not in flesh, right? We are perfect in spirit, right? So if we are perfect, right, what need do we have of the flesh, right? The Lord has made us perfect, right, in our spirit, right? So the fact that we are one with him, what need have we to use the flesh, right? What need have we to use the flesh? We have no need for the flesh. We have no need to use the flesh. So here he says that "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body," right? That you present your body a living sacrifice. So your body is presented, right? Your body is presented as dead, right? But we come to God because we are alive unto him, right? So we're alive unto God. So we present ourselves a living sacrifice. We present ourselves as living stones, right? We present ourselves as a living sacrifice, so we present ourselves as living stones, those who are alive from the dead, right? Those who are alive from the dead. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, right? So the only way to serve the Lord, right? The only way to serve Him, the only way to worship God is in spirit, right? So what did He do to us? He made us perfect in spirit. Perfect, right? Perfect in spirit. And we'll get into something. So he says, going back if we can, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse number 4, it says that we came to Him as a living stone, coming to Him as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, because men did not believe Him, right? Men didn't believe Him. But we that heard and believed, He did something, right? So He was disallowed by men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. What kind of a house are we? Right? We're a spiritual house. So that means that we live, right? We live by the Spirit and we walk by the Spirit. Because why? Because we that's all that is profitable. That's all that's in us. That our life is now to be lived by the Spirit, right? Our life is now to be lived by the Spirit because we are one with Him, right? So all that He is doing, you ever wonder, like the Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, it says your spirit prays. Right? Your spirit prays. Why is that? It says that you speak mysteries unto God. That you're speaking to God when your spirit prays. But why is that? Because your spirit can speak perfectly to God. Right? Why? Because your spirit, we're perfect. In your spirit, you are perfect. So that means that there's nothing lacking. There's nothing that your spirit needs of your body. Right? There's nothing that your spirit needs of your body to do everything perfectly. So but what happens? So we continue to renew our mind. Right? So the Spirit of God continually bears fruit in our lives. In other words, He begins to be the one that lives. And the more that we know, the more that He lives. But what is it that's living? Is that your life is becoming spiritual and no more carnal. Now you're living by the Spirit, right? Now, in other words, your living is being done by your Spirit and no longer by your flesh, right? No longer by your flesh. So it says, we're being built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, let's see. Wherefore it says in verse number 6, also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. In other words, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Let it stay by itself. So the Lord will say, He said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him who is the chief cornerstone or the headstone. In other words, the word head, the fact that he is the head over the body, is the same thing as saying chief. In other words, he is, and actually the Lord says it here, I believe, if not here, maybe in Ephesians 1, but he says that Christ is preeminent. That he's all in all now, right? That he reigns in us, right? That he's preeminent means that he is the head of the body. I mean, you understand that, right? He's the head of the body. He's the head of the body. And we are the body of Christ, right? And he moves the body where he wishes. He moves the body where he wishes, right? The head moves the body where it desires. The head moves the body where it desires. And we are a spiritual house of the Lord, right? In other words, he inhabits us, right? So he moves, right? And he does what the Spirit wills always, right? Is what he's talking about there. The Spirit wills. What the Lord wants to do, then he can do in you. And that's the renewal of our mind is for that purpose, right? So that the activity is no longer of the flesh, but that we recognize, that we see the spiritual reality of who we are, right? So it tells us, he says, he's a living stone. He's alive from the dead. You're a living stone. You're alive from the dead, right? Let's just go real quick to Romans chapter 6 and look at verse number 1 is fine. 1 is fine. Look at what it says. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? You see what he's saying? We've been made alive, right? Our spirit is perfect. Perfect in what it is, right? It's perfect. And it's from God. You see the difference is that we were born, watch, we were born not of the will of men, but we were birthed of God. Right? Adam and Eve were made by God, right? We're made by God. But we have been also now born of God. You notice that God's been saying for several services that he everything was made for him and by him, right? Everything was made for him and by him, right? We were made by him. We were made by him, right? But not just the whole thing about all the creation. We know that God created everything that there is. But the thing is, listen to what he says. We were born not of the will of men. Right? We were born not of the we were born not of flesh. But God said, I birthed you. When did God birth us? Right? In he says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5:17 or something like that, right? He says that he made us a new creation, right? That he made us a new creation. So we've been birthed. So God gave birth to us, and everything that comes from God is what? Perfect. Everything that comes from God is perfect. So God gave birth to us how? Perfectly. Perfectly. You know what? Before we even do Romans chapter 6, let's do this. Let's look at James 1. I think it was there, but 1:17. James 1:17. Look at it real quick. James 1:17. And then we will come back here. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat or birthed us, right? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, right? Isn't that interesting? That God would say that we are, look at what he says, that we're a kind of first fruits, or like first creations of God. First creations of God, right? So, but here's the cool part, right? Is that we know, right, that there will come a day where God will recreate the earth, right? Heaven and earth will pass away and God will make it new, right? When is he going to do that to you? When is he going to make you new? Right? He already did. Right? He already made you new. So we are the first to be birthed new of God. Right? To be made perfect. Right? God will make everything. Everything will be perfect. Right? Everything will be perfect. And even we will also put on perfect bodies. Right? But don't get caught up in the fact that you're going to put on a perfect body. You are already perfect, right? You are already perfect. Hebrews 12 says that's where we have ascended to Zion, the spirits of just men that have been made what? Perfect, right? So you're perfect. You're perfect, right? So he said that we should be a kind of first fruits. Let me show you this also, right? Can we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 16? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 16. Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. It says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man... So what he's saying is, we don't know one another according to the flesh. Why wouldn't I know you according to the flesh? Right? Because you have been made a new creation. Why would I know you according to the flesh when you have been made new? So we can't be deceived that because your body still looks the same, that you haven't been made new, right? Because you may have the same body, but you're brand spanking new inside. Perfect, without any flaw, so much so that you are blameless and holy and don't have a single fault, right? Not a single fault. You're perfect in every way. Look at what he says. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come new. And let's look at 18 and the whole bit of 18 there. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. But here's the beautiful thing that he says, that all the things that have been done now that are in us. So he said in verse number 17 that if we are in Christ, we have been made brand new. Just like he's going to make the world new. Just like everything is going to be brand new and beautiful and no flaws in it, and a creation that is perfect, and no more, we have to talk about things being fallen. But you know the beautiful thing? Even though your eyes could behold fallen things, right? You have to be careful that you don't consider yourself fallen, right? Because you don't suffer from that anymore. Right? You used to suffer from what? From being in a fallen world, right? But you don't suffer from being in a fallen world anymore. Why? Because you've been made brand new. The earth will be made new, but we have been made new ahead of the world, right? Ahead of the world. You've been made brand new. Why? Because you've been made what? A new creation. If you're in Christ, it says you've been made a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what's happening is that more and more, as we continue to listen to Jesus and see what he's saying, you now can clearly see, right, why it is that he says that we came to him, to him who was a living stone, the one who was raised from the dead, the one who was alive from the dead. We come to him. We come to him. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Right, because when he says there, he says coming unto him as to a living stone, the one who's risen from the dead. Well, this just goes into detail, right? 18 is good. So 18, it says, thank you very much, Andre. It says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Right? Thank God that's not where we are. Right? Verse number 20 says, for they could not endure what was being commanded, and if it's so much as a beast touched the mountain, they shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart. You know, it's interesting that Jesus is, right, he's the exact opposite of that. He says, come to me, and when you hear, right, that actually brings ease to us, right? He comforts our soul, right? He comforts us. So to hear him is the exact opposite of that, right? Verse number 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Yep, let's go to the next. Thank you. This is, but you are come unto Mount Sion. Look what it says. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church. Here's a cool thing, right? The church of the firstborn. Listen, church there is not, you know, organization. Right? Church there is not like the club, right? Church there is that we are his body. We are the body of the firstborn. So because we are the church of the firstborn, all that are of the church are just like the firstborn, right? So he's called the firstborn because he's the first to be born from the dead, right? Listen to that. The firstborn, right? Because he's the first from the dead. What are we? We also have been made, we're not the first, but we have also been made what? Living stones. Lifted, right? Raised from the dead. So we were dead, but thank God we were been raised from the dead, right? Listen, with the same magnitude that people today picture that day, because people picture being raised from the dead that day, you know, because everything will be made new and there'll be no more pain and all of this stuff. And they put that hope and they extend it out there and they make themselves sick that way living. But what they miss is that they don't understand. And they talk about it, that we've been made a new creation. But what the heck does that mean, right? If you've been made a new creation, you've been made new already. You're not waiting to be made new. You are new. You are new. You have been made new. We are the church of the firstborn. That means that as he is, so are we in this world. What is he? Risen from the dead, full of life and perfect. What are you? Risen from the dead and perfect in every way, right? Now, fleshly, okay, but you know what? Who cares to even talk about it anymore? It's not even worth talking about it anymore. The flesh is of no consequence anymore, right? It doesn't need it. It's like Abraham, right? The Lord said who he was, and he considered it no more. Don't consider it no more. It's of no consequence anymore. When God says, this is what you are, this is who I am, this is what you've done, that's it. Right? That's it. I'm new. Thank God we're new. It says that we've come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men that have been made perfect. How awesome is it to know that you have been made already perfect? That there is no perfection that you will receive when you get to heaven, right? The newness that people think they will receive, if they are in Christ, they already actually have it. They already possess it, right? Living stones. But people go along in their life as Christians sometimes, but they don't live as though they are a living stone. They live as though they are living flesh. And they are, and it was already said, right, several times. They live as though they are mere, what's a mere human? A mere human is a person controlled by the flesh and by the lust thereof. They have no other recourse. That's it, right? But what are we? We're the circumcision, right? We're the circumcision. We are the circumcision. We are those that live without consequence of the flesh anymore. No more. No more. My God, that's good. It's no more. No more, he said. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 again like we were, right? Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? You see that? How could we? How could people like us, right? That have died to sin, right? How could we, people that have died to sin, live any longer in it, right? We live by the Spirit. How could we live in that? How could we live in that any longer? It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So you died as he died. He died your death. So you died that, right? You died. So it says, therefore we are buried, right? We're buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was, that's beautiful, right? And like as Christ, right? And like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so you were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, right? Even so, we also walk in this newness of life. How do we walk in newness of life? Because we walk, right, in the spirits of just men made perfect. We walk having been made brand new. This world is waiting for that, right? It's waiting. All creation is waiting to be made new. We inside have been made brand new. And this whole thing about inside and outside, right? This is who we are, right? This is it. This is who I am. I am a spirit, right? I am a spirit. I may have a body, but I don't care about that, right? I am a spirit. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's awesome. Resurrection, right? Resurrection day is what people are waiting for. They don't realize that we've been resurrected, right? That's what a living stone is, right? One that's been resurrected. One that's been resurrected. My God. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Thank God it's dead. The body of sin. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That's a strong word. That's an awesome word, right? Destroyed. Doesn't look like there's a whole lot of dominion there left, right? Right? Destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Right? It doesn't say you have to try not to serve sin. It says henceforth you serve sin no more. Why? Because it's destroyed. Right? The body of death has been destroyed. He says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. That's the freedom, right? That Jesus set us free. We're free indeed. Surely, right? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. He says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. See, that's a cool thing, right? You can look at Jesus and you can say, Lord, you died once and you will never die again. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, right? When one is risen from the dead, right? You die no more, right? And you died once and you've been risen from the dead. You die no more. Death can't have dominion over someone that's been raised from the dead. Right? No more dominion. He says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. No more dominion over him. No more dominion over him. For in that he died once. Once. He died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Isn't it awesome that you live unto God now? That the life that you live unto God now. Right? Living sacrifice. Right? Living stone. Right, risen from the dead, a living stone. Likewise, reckon yourself also. Consider, that word reckon is nice, right? Consider yourself that way. It's not saying consider yourself like pretend that you're like that, right? Consider yourself because, hello, this is who you are, right? This is who you are, right? If look at verse number 10 again. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon or consider yourself to be dead indeed, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So you're free indeed and you're dead indeed. So your flesh is dead, right? Your flesh is dead. The body is dead. right? But the spirit in us, right, is life now. The body is dead. The body is dead, right? The body is dead. It has no function anymore. There's no need for it anymore, right? Other than it lays on top of you, right? But thank God that the power now to live, right? The power to live and all that is needful to be done, all that is profitable, all that is fruitful comes from the spirit in you, right? Comes from your spirit. Comes from your spirit, right? That is one with him. One with him. One with him. Let not, you know, it's interesting, right? You ever thought about that? That if your spirit prays, you pray unto God, right? You pray unto God. And you're like, whoa, I could do that? I could just pray like mysteries to God? I could do that? Like, isn't that something that has to be said of the Holy Spirit in you? That he speaks mysteries unto God? How do you do that? How do you speak mysteries unto God, right? So the question would be, what's the difference between your spirit and his spirit? You receive the spirit that is from God. You haven't received the spirit that is of this world. You have received a perfect spirit. Why? Because you have been united in one with him. So you are one spirit with Jesus and with the Father, right? We are one with him, right? So what is the difference between saying that you pray, right? If you're praying from your spirit, if you're praying from your spirit, the spirit prays, right? The spirit prays, but what's the difference between your spirit and his spirit? There is no difference, right? There is no difference, right? It's the Father that's doing the work. It's him that's doing it. It's him that's doing it. So he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's awesome, right? That's where our life comes from, right? Through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, right? Don't let it reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. Doesn't that sound real familiar? We just read it and said that we are living stones, right? Then we went to Romans chapter 12 that said that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, right? And then here he says, yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. What's a living sacrifice? One who is alive from the dead. What's a living stone? One who is alive from the dead. What does it mean to present yourselves unto God as being alive from the dead? Well, that one is just alive from the dead, right? He says it plainly there, right? Alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, right? The body of sin has no dominion. No dominion. The dominion of the body of sin over you has been stripped. It's been taken away. It's been destroyed. So there's no more dominion there. There's no more dominion. So the life that you live, that's what he tells us, right? Live by faith. Live by hearing. So you will see who you are. And as your mind is renewed to who you are, you will live more and more by the Spirit. More and more by the Spirit. More and more by the Spirit, right? More and more by the Spirit. The more that you know, the more that you would just allow God to keep working in that, right? And keep speaking to you, the more you will live by who you are. You'll live like who you are. You'll live like who you are. But it's beautiful to see how perfectly you can behold the glory of Jesus, right? And know that that is truly, truly who you are. You are a brother. You are a brother to the firstborn. The firstborn from the dead. Right? You have been made perfect. The spirits of just men have been made perfect. Awesome to see the things that he's done. Awesome to see the things that he's done. Let's just go, while we close here, go to Colossians. Colossians 1:12. Man, 9. It's just, 10 is awesome. But just what we've been saying. But look at verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge. Doesn't it sound real familiar? Like we were reading just several services ago. That he prayed for the Ephesian church, that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, right? Because he said, you've been born again. You've been born again, right? You have faith in Jesus. You have faith in Jesus, but you don't know that you've obtained an inheritance, right? You don't know, right? And the Lord's teaching us now, you don't know that when you obtained an inheritance, you were made brand new. You're brand new. You don't know that you're brand new. You don't know that you're brand new. So you don't know that you're brand new. We're brand new. He says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. How do you walk worthy of the Lord? Just walk in the Spirit, right? How do you walk in the Spirit? You hear, right? But that's walking worthy. That's walking acceptably, right? So he says that you would walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Look at what it says: being fruitful in every good work. What does that mean? That means the Spirit of God is working. When you're fruitful in every good work, how are you fruitful in every good work? Because the Spirit of God is doing it, right? So it's good. So it's good, right? It's good and it's pleasing, right? It's good and it's pleasing. And it's fruitful, obviously, because he's doing it. Fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he says it twice. Continue to grow in the knowledge of God by hearing, and you'll be doing every good work fruitful because the Spirit of God is working. And it says, and you'll keep increasing in the knowledge of him, right? Increasing in the knowledge of him. That's good. In the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. That's not your might, right? That's not the might of the flesh, we should say. Right? That's the might of the Spirit in you, right? That's the might of, that's your might spiritually speaking, right? That's your might spiritually speaking, walking spiritually, right? It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Right? That's beautiful, right? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Because it's by his glorious power is how you live, right? That's how things get done now. By his glorious power, things get done. Which is the same thing as to say to walk in the Spirit or to the Spirit to function. Thank God that the flesh rests, right? That it rests. Verse number 12 is good. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Right? So he has qualified us, right, by the righteousness that we've been made to be partakers, right? Be partakers of our inheritance. And we've been through that in several services. Hadn't read that verse exactly to you, but that's just another one that just cements it even more, right? Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. But if you've been delivered from the power of darkness, you've been freed from sin, you've been freed from the body of death, you've been freed from corruption, you've been freed from darkness, period, right? The power of darkness, you've been freed. He destroyed the works of the devil. Amen, my God. Destroyed the works of the devil. He said, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. What's that? The church of the firstborn. What's that? Those who are alive from the dead. Those who are alive from the dead. That's us. Those who are alive from the dead. Who are you? You're the one that's alive from the dead. You're a living stone. You're alive from the dead. You're alive from the dead. Delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank God, right? How can you not be forgiven? You're perfect. How can you not be forgiven already? You're perfect. When do people not know that they're forgiven? When they don't know that they're perfect. If you're perfect, how are you not forgiven? If you're perfect, you're always forgiven. You've been forgiven. Thank God he forgave us already. It's done. Sin has been dealt with and we don't have to bring it up no more. Thank God. Who is the image of the invisible God. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. Right? The firstborn of every creation. He went, we followed. Right? Right? He went, we followed. Then our body, then the world. Right? Then our body, then the world. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So it's awesome how he says that, right? He always mentions all that, powers, dominions, kingdoms, thrones, all that, right? He said, I made all that. Right? And when he was risen, where was he seated? Above all that. Above all that. Where has he seated us? Above all that. Right? He was seated above all that. When he made us new, what did he do? He made us like unto himself above all that too. Right? Above all that too. So it's not just that you've been forgiven of your sins. It's not just that you've been made perfect. It's that he's put you above all that's in the world right now. All that he made, he put you above it. All that he made, he put you above it. And you may say, well, I don't see everything under my feet yet. But you do see him, right? You do see him, and if you see him, then you know who you are. If you see him, then you'll know that you are, that everything has been put under your feet, right? But the fact that you don't see it all put under your feet, you just keep your eyes on him, and he'll keep you straight. keep your eyes on Him, He'll keep you straight. Right? He, above everything, my God. So what's left? Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and in case we missed something, He says all things, right? That were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is, look at what He says, the head of the body, the chief corner. The chief corner, from where everything is built, from where everything comes, from where everything stands. The Bible says that we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, right? Why? Because everything in the kingdom consists of, right? Everything in the kingdom started with Him. And He is unshakable. So if you have been made like unto Him, and you are the church, in the church of the firstborn, He's made you like unto Himself, so He's made you unshakable. Why? Because He is the head of the body. He's the head of the body, and if the head is not shaken, the body is not shaken either, right? It may act sometimes like it's shaken, but it's not shaken. It just doesn't know. It just doesn't know, so that's why it has to learn, right? So He is the body, He is the head of the body, the church. The same one, the church of the firstborn, right? He's the head of that body, the church, right? Not the organization, but the body. The church is the body of Christ, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. And what are we? I don't know, second, third, fourth, fifth. I don't know what number I am, but I'm up from the dead. I'm not dead anymore. I've been raised up from the dead, right? So He says in the number thing, that was just fluff anyway. Who cares about the number thing? I don't even know what that means. So He said, and He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, so He's the firstborn from the dead, the head corner, right, or the chief cornerstone, right, some translations say. So He says, He is the first, why? So that in all things, He may have preeminence. So in other words, so that He may be the chief, so that He may be the first, so that He is the essential, so that He is the only necessary thing, so that He can be the all in all, preeminence, right? Christ is all in us. Why? Because that's who we are now. Our life is hidden in Him now. Hidden in. You can't even see it. Go try to find your life. Where's the difference between your life and the life of God in you? Right? It's hidden in it. It's already in Him. Your life is in Him. And He is in you, and you are one. Your life is in Him, and He is in you, and we're one with Him. That in all things He may have preeminence. And let's finish then with Ephesians, back, not forward. Ephesians chapter 1, and that's good. Ephesians chapter 1 is really good. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. The cool thing is that everything, one day will be made new. But you, in other words, what it's saying here, that might be, He might gather together all things. The church, what is that? The ones that have been gathered together. What is the church, right? The church is the ones that have been brought together in Him. That's the church. The ones who have been brought together in Him. And when we were brought together in Him, we were raised from the dead. We were raised from the dead. So it says, in verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, right? To the praise of His glory. Why? Because the Spirit of God working in us, right, glorifies the Father. Right? That you would bear much fruit, and this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, right? What happened? You heard. That's where it all began. Where it all began, by the hearing of faith. And how do we continue? By the same hearing. Thank God that's how we live, and we know how to live, and we know what to do tomorrow, and we know what works. We know how the lion was delivered into our hand, and we know how the bear was delivered into our hand, and we know how to deal with the giant. How do you do that? The same way you did the lion and the bear. What'd you do? You heard. Right? The same way you heard is the same way you keep right on living. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Stay with me just to read a little bit more to 13 and we're done. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, brightened, so that now you can see better who you are and see him and see the Father, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches that just in the perfection of what Christ has done, the riches that you have on the inside of you in the perfection that of what he's done. How rich, how overwhelming the supply of the Spirit of God that we have compared to the need in this world. What is that? What is the need in this world compared to the riches of the glory and the power of God that you have just in you? Just in one person, in one of us, right? The riches of what we have. What are the problems of the world compared to that? Nothing. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, right? The power that's in us, that can work in you, right? Because we believe. And it says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So he's talking about that power that raised him from the dead, that made him a living stone, right? He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Here he's going to go again, like he just said how he did before. He says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Doing it all over again, where he seated him and what he did and how we could reckon ourselves. So he's telling us about Jesus, right? And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all the church. The one who is chief, the one who is preeminent. Jesus is the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the body, right? He's the one that thinks. He's the one that does. The mind is of Christ, right? He's the head. The mind is of Christ. The body is for him now. The body is for him now, right? The body is for him now. How is the body for him? I mean, sure, this flesh, he's going to use it, right? But the body is for him now, right? The body is for him. It's his body, right? The church is the body of Christ. The body is for him now, right? So who works the Spirit? Well, who's the head, right? Who's the head of the, who is the head of the body of Christ? He is the head. So who controls and reigns in the body? Right? The head does. The one who is chief, right? The one who is all in all, in all of us, right? And works all in all by the Spirit. That's good. That's good. He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, my God, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.